second books once again to 121. 121, Blessed Calvary. Please stand as we sing 121, Blessed Calvary. 121. Bring us a special number and song.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always there. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Thank you very much, Crystal. And that really is what we should be thinking about even on Sunday. That's why we are here. Because Christ is risen from the dead, and he rose on the first day of the week. And so we should really think about that more every Sunday. Not just on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, but every Sunday. We are people that serve a risen Savior. And so thank you for that reminder in that song. All right, I want to ask you to turn to 1 Peter again. We're going through 1 Peter, and we're in 1 Peter chapter 2. So turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we've been looking at Peter's exhortation to believers about their conduct. Remember that Peter, in this epistle, he moves back and forth between doctrine, some core foundational truth, and then exhortations. Here's what we need to do as believers. And so we're in one of those sections that Peter is exhorting about things that we ought to do. And I think the summary statement goes back to verse number 12, where we see Peter says in 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And so the overall theme here is for honest conversation or honest outward conduct. He's exhorting us about how we live, our outward conduct. And the watching world will see that. And the hope is that they will come to glorify God because they see what we do and how we live. And what should they see? Well, Peter expands on that. And in these verses, we see that outward conduct that is good for Christians is submissive conduct. It's submissive conduct. Submission to authority is one of the main marks of godly Christian conduct. And last week we looked at verses 13 through 17 where Peter talks about submission to government. That's just one kind of outward conduct. And we do that for the Lord's sake, not just because of the human authority. We do that because just submitting to the authorities will have an impact. We will be able to silence people that speak against us. And it will have an impact on ignorant and foolish men who don't understand the Christian faith. Now, in verse 18, Peter continues this emphasis on submission, but it's in another area. Verse 18, servants, Be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. And so Peter now is talking about servants. This word servant is one of the words for slave in the New Testament. It refers to a household slave, a household servant. It's a different word than what Paul normally uses for slave, doulos. That's the word he uses a lot. Peter uses this word that refers to a household servant, a household slave. History tells us, of course, that slavery was very common in the first century. Some reports that I've heard about the city of Rome, the capital city in the empire, is that they think that half of the population of the city of Rome was slave. And so can you imagine that a church in a city during the first century in the Roman Empire, you know, probably a good part of that church would be slaves. Can you imagine, you know, talking about your church and saying, well, yeah, we're about 50% slave, 50% free. We've got both of these people in our church. Well, that's how the church was that Peter was writing to. He was writing to churches and believers, some of whom were slaves. They were slaves in Roman households. It would be a different world, for sure, than our world. We think of slavery, and of course everybody has their own perspective on slavery, because we had slaves in this country not that long ago, really. And slavery in the first century was probably a lot like slavery in our country, in that it wasn't all the same. You know, we sometimes have a view of slavery that we think, well, they just beat them all the time and they were mistreated, and some of them were, but some of them were not. And some of them were actually a lot better off in their homes, living as house slaves, than the free people who were living out on the streets. And they didn't always have really bad conditions, just like some slaves in our country didn't always have really bad conditions. The New Testament writers do not attack slavery, but they do lay the foundation for the demise of slavery. Peter does not ignore slaves here. He speaks directly to slaves, and he gives them instructions for their Christian conduct. And he speaks to other classes of people. That God speaks to all types of Christians, and we see the equality of people before God, even though some of them may have been slaves, some of them free. Before God, they were equal. None of us are slaves. I don't think, anyway. No one's told me that they're a slave. You may think that you're a slave, but none of us are slaves today. And so there is a little bit of a disconnect, maybe, because we're not slaves. Peter's talking to slaves in bondage, people that are owned and things like that. But we can broaden out the principles that Peter gives to slaves here. And in fact, Peter does broaden them out himself. If you look at verse 19, he says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man, for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully." See what he does there? He addresses slaves in verse 18, but then he broadens it out generally and just says, if a man, if anyone, for conscience towards God, you know, endures grief. Okay? So Peter does start to do this, and that's what we're going to do as well this morning. But the main duty that we're looking at is the same as what we looked at last week, and that is to submit. Servants, be subject to your masters. It is the same as verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. When we looked at government there, same word. It is to put ourselves under the control of somebody else. To submit, to subject. It is to be a voluntary and not a forced submission. We as Christians are to see that this is how we please God. We put ourselves under another authority. And we're going to see how we do that here in this text. But our main duty is to be subject. It's to obey. That's what it means. It means to obey. And how are we to do that? We are to submit. How are we to do that? First of all, we are to be subject with all fear. Verse 18 again. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. With all fear. Now, this fear, we think about slaves, and we might think, yeah, I would be afraid if I was a slave, you know. But this fear is probably not talking about, you know, fear, a sort of a dread of punishment. The fear that we see in the Bible, I think that Peter is probably talking about here, is a reverence for God. We are to submit to authorities with a reverence towards God, to be subject with all fear, with all respect for God, recognizing that He sees us, and we fear not just our authority, but really we fear God. We revere Him. We respect God. And so, seeing God, we are subject to our authorities. I think it's the same as submitting to government for the Lord's sake in verse 13, as we talked about. It's not just submitting to government because they're in charge. It's submitting for the Lord's sake. Same here, to submit with all fear to authorities is to have fear of God as we obey our authorities. And we should be reminded also that fear is, we should have fear of God and remember that we are not to disobey God. And what being subject to authorities means is, well, what it doesn't mean is being forced to do evil in disobedience to God. Okay, we need to remember that submission, being subject to authorities, whatever authority it might be, whether to government, whether to authorities in the workplace, authorities at school, authorities in the home, submission, subjection to those authorities does not mean that we are forced to disobey God. And submission with all fear should remind us about that. We fear God. We fear disobeying God. So Peter is not saying to these slaves, he's not saying to us that we should do whatever they tell us to do, including sin. That's not what he's saying. No, we need to fear God. But fear does mean that we should take this matter seriously. Fear and reverence to God. You know, think about how a slave might have been tempted to just sort of give up and sort of, you know, check out. And that's something that we can be tempted to do as well today. We can forget about fearing God and just see things on an earthly level and just give up and not really care that much about putting ourselves under our authorities. It's something I heard about last year that's becoming common, I guess, in workplaces, they say, is the practice of quiet quitting. Have you heard about that? Quiet quitting. You know what quiet quitting is? Okay. It's basically just giving up on the job. Not really quitting, but not going, you know, the extra mile, not really doing anything other than just the bare minimum to get by. It's quiet quitting, they call it. And so that's obviously not something that is good as a Christian. You know, we shouldn't, you know, quiet quit. We should have fear of God even as we submit to our authorities. And that should impact how we operate in our daily life. Now, there's also something called quiet firing, too. And that's making the job so bad that the person, you know, goes ahead and quits. So there's that, too, which isn't good, probably. But being subject with all fear and reverence for God should change how we approach that. We need to be subject with all fear. And then secondly, we need to be subject to different kinds of people. be subject to different kinds of people. Verse 18 again. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So we've got different kinds of people that Peter talks about. There's different kinds of authorities. Of course, he's talking about masters to slaves. Okay, we're not slaves, but there's a principle there. There's different kinds of people. There's the good and gentle. There's the good and gentle. Of course, that's easy to be subject to the good and gentle. And that is, the good and gentle people who understand, hey, we're not perfect. Maybe that worker, they made a mistake. Maybe they just need another reminder and another one and another one. And maybe they need a break, take a vacation, right? Just take care of yourself. A good and gentle authority. Yeah, it's nice to be able to have those and to submit to those. And at the same time, perhaps we should think about that it could be easy to take advantage of good and gentle authorities. And there could be people who might say, hey, my master's good and gentle, my authority, my boss, parent, teacher, whatever, they're good and gentle. Hey, I can get away with things, And that's not what we should do either as a Christian. All right, is that going to be outward conduct that's going to cause people to glorify God, to draw people to God? Probably not. So we shouldn't take advantage of things like that. And then we see the froward, the good and gentle masters, but then we see that there are the froward. What does froward mean? It means crooked, bent, the opposite of straight. That's froward. And these are authorities that are probably cruel and unfair. They may be those who say one thing one day, come in the next day, complete opposite. Completely different instructions. They change. And then they scold you because you didn't do it the way that they wanted it today. You did it the way they wanted it yesterday when they told you that. And then, of course, they're changeable. They're crooked. They're bent. And you have no idea what to expect from day to day. And yet, Peter is reminding us that towards both kinds of masters, to the good and gentle, and also to the froward, we are to be subject to both kinds of masters. Have you ever had a froward master? Maybe you can think about different people who would fall into that category, that you would say, okay, this guy is froward. All right, don't call him that to his face, but it's just this doesn't line up. This is unfair. This isn't right. I think about a coach I had one time, he was just a guy who he was a short Italian guy, a basketball coach, and I mean he was very animated, and by that I mean angry. I mean he would get livid, even during games. There were times he had to walk off the court because he was just so upset. At that time, those of us boys on the team, of course, we didn't like it. We didn't like how much he yelled at us. And, we just complained a lot, behind his back, of course. And some of the parents didn't like it either, how upset he got at their poor little children. But, we had to learn to put ourselves under that. And looking back, it was good for us. It was good preparation for life for us. You probably all have people like that. And you think, boy, that I don't like being under somebody who just is unhinged and yells all the time maybe they're your boss and you have to see him every day and you have to figure out, okay, what's it going to be like this day, to figure that out. Different kinds of people. We're not to make excuse for our rebellion against authority. We can easily make excuse if the authority is just annoying or if they're overbearing or if they're unfair. Maybe there's a teacher and the teacher gives special treatment to another student. And, you know, there's always that sense of injustice, and this is unfair. And so because they're doing that, I'm not going to put myself under them. And we have to be careful. We don't make excuse for rebellion against authority. Then thirdly, we need to be subject with enduring suffering. Be subject with enduring suffering. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Peter tells us that being subject can often involve suffering. Suffering can be grief. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, the word here is the word for pain. So pains, many different kinds of grief and pain, things that can cause that feeling of, oh, I don't like this. This grieves me so much to have to face this. And the next verse tells us that for these slaves, that could be physical pains at times. Talks about being buffeted for your faults, taking a beating even for faults. And that suffering can be undeserved. Peter says, suffering wrongfully. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. You know, this is suffering that we think, hey, I didn't deserve that. That wasn't right. That's unfair. This is unfair treatment. It's undeserved suffering. But Peter talks here, he says that this is to be endured. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. There is a bearing up under or sustaining the weight of, this is the idea of endurance, sustaining the weight of this grief, of this trouble. You know, there's all different kinds of suffering that people might face today, and perhaps we don't face the same kind of physical grief, the physical trouble that slaves in the first century might have faced. But there's other kinds of grief. You know, there's other kinds of trouble. It might be verbal suffering. It might be a kind of suffering, kind of grief that is just really hard to put your finger on. It's like you know there's something that grieves you, but it's like you can't really identify what it is. It's just there, but you can't really prove it. It's just something you don't like. And that can be a kind of trouble as well that we are called to endure and bear up under. Now, I want to say again, this isn't saying that we ought to be forced to disobey God. You know, this isn't saying that we endure and we go ahead and sin. That's not what it's saying. This isn't saying that we allow ourselves to be in danger, that we overlook if somebody else is committing a crime. Okay, that's not what submission is. And that's not the type of endurance that I think Peter's talking about. But there are times that we are called to put ourselves under our authorities and endure grief. And then we're told that we are to be subject with conscience toward God. I want to highlight that here again in verse 19. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God. For conscience toward God. Conscience is the idea of knowledge. And we all have a conscience. The Bible tells us that we have a conscience. We have an awareness of ourselves. Even unbelievers have a conscience. And they have a knowledge of themselves. And that conscience knows them. And they know that conscience. There's this knowledge here of self that is there. But this is talking about a conscience toward God. A conscience toward God that believers have. We have a knowledge of God. We have an awareness of God. We have a conscience toward God. And we are to submit with an awareness of God an awareness of the presence of God. And the result of that here, Peter says, this is thankworthy. This is thankworthy. The word for thankworthy is the word for grace in the New Testament. This is favor. This finds favor with God. It's something that is thankworthy here. I think the idea is that. It's like God says thank you when you do that. When you endure grief and submit yourself to authority with conscience towards God, God says thank you. Thank you for doing that. It's thankworthy. Remember when I was in college, I went to Bob Jones University, and of course, they were known for a lot of strictness, okay, rules and things like that. And so, maybe not so much anymore, but when I was a freshman, that came in, it was with another group of guys in the society that I was in, and this guy in the society was given kind of a goodbye to the rest of the guys in this group. And he got up, and I just remember one of the things he said was, guys, just remember, here at this school, conform or be expelled. All right? And he said, conform or be expelled. And I don't know what the backstory was to that. He didn't go into it, but I don't know if he had learned that by experience. Probably. Conform or be expelled. And that was how he had survived, perhaps. But, you know, that attitude is not the attitude that Peter is trying to teach us here. That's not the attitude of submission to authority here, conform or be expelled. And, you know, we can have that same attitude towards our authorities. Okay, I'll do it just to keep this job. All right, conform or be fired. That's not quite what God is teaching us here. God is teaching us to have an awareness of Himself. We are to put ourselves under authority to please God. It's not just about our present situation and the things that we can see. It's about our knowledge that God is watching us and that we are doing what we're doing, putting ourselves under authority to please God, not just to get by. We please the Lord. And so this is not an attitude of just giving up and giving in to the authority because that's the only thing. There's no other option. This is not a stoicism. This is a submission with an awareness of God. And then we see we are to be subject and do well. Peter here clarifies the kind of suffering that is acceptable to God in verse number 20. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So he's telling us two different scenarios here, two different kinds of suffering. There's the wrong kind of suffering, okay? The suffering for doing wrong. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? The faults here is the word for sin. There would be consequences before God, but sometimes when we have sin, when we disobey, there are consequences that human authorities have. And for a slave, again, you know, we don't have slaves now, we're not slaves, but for a slave, it could involve a beating to be buffeted for their faults. And the point here is that that's nothing to be proud of. You know, it's nothing that gets you really any glory or reputation to be punished for your bad things that you've done and to endure that. You know, we should endure that, to take the punishment and to accept it. But there's really nothing that is like the other thing that Peter is talking about, the right kind of approved suffering that Peter's already talked about, but he reiterates it here in verse 20. But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, You take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Okay. When you do well, when you do good, maybe times when you do suffer for it, you do have to bear that grief. You have to bear the pain. You have to bear the trouble. It may not be physical. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. But when you do good and you still suffer for it, that is acceptable to God. That would have been a great encouragement, I think, to a slave who was in that situation and they're wondering why they've done well. They've obeyed the master's instructions. They've did what he said, and yet they have pain. They have grief. Peter's reminding them, when you go ahead and you put yourself under, you submit, you still have that pain, God sees that. That's acceptable to God. That is thankworthy. God says, thank you. Thank you for doing that. So we need to continue to be subject to authorities and do right. That means following instructions. That means following rules and policies. And they may be silly things. You may say, well, where did they get that? That's not in the Bible. Okay. It's just, I don't like that rule or whatever. We still need to submit and put ourselves under authorities. Are we going to fail? Yes, of course, we're going to fail. We're going to be, we will have the wrong attitude at times. But as Christians, we need to be reminded that we serve God. We have this fear of God, this respect and reverence for Him, even as we put ourselves under authorities. And then we need to prepare ourselves right now to be able to bear that pain. Maybe some of you say, well, I'm glad I don't have that right now. Well, you might. And so right now, you should prepare yourself. Okay, I'm going to continue to do well. I'm going to continue to do what's right. And I know, even if I do that, I'm going to face a little bit of pain, perhaps. I'm going to, you know, maybe some emotional things going on, maybe some of that tension that's there. And okay, I'm going to bear that. I'm going to endure that. Because I know that God is watching me, and by doing that, I please God. So we need to prepare ourselves for doing right. And then we come to verses 21 to 25, and we find the motivation for this. Say, how can I do this? We're going to come back to that next week, but I do want to read these verses once again and just connect this to this subject. Look at verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That is the help that we need to be able to do this. Jesus Christ did no sin. He did no sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. And yet what happened to him? He suffered on the cross and died. And he did that in order to help us to be able to do what Peter's talking about. We can never do what Peter's talking about, to submit to authorities, unless we come face to face with who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us when he died on the cross. And then once we come to believe on Christ, we have the power and the ability to be able to follow Christ, to be able to follow His example of submission to authority. So what is conduct that is honest among the Gentiles? It's submission to authority. If we want to have a good testimony to the world, we must submit ourselves to authorities. The world is watching. They will see that. And they will either be drawn to God or be drawn away from God. We are to be subject with all fear. The fear of God, fear, respect towards God. We are to be subject to different kinds of people. We are to be subject with enduring suffering, with conscience towards God. And we are to do well. We are to make sure that we are in subjection to authorities and that we're doing well. We're doing good as we ought to do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us. We recognize that we struggle with our flesh, and we oftentimes want to do the opposite of what our authorities tell us to do. But we see here in Your Word what we're called to, and we want to live lives that are going to have an impact. And we see that You've told us that we need to be in submission to authority. And so we pray that we would have the grace we need. We thank You for Jesus Christ, for the example that He's given us of this, and for the power that we have in Him to be able to follow His example. We thank You that He has forgiven our sins, that we might live for Him. And we thank You and we praise You for what He's done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and we'll turn to number 261. Number 261, Trust and Obey. And let's all stand as we sing. Number 261.
Thank you.
now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.